Expanding Your Horizon. So you have been doing a little quiet reflection and have been surprised with what has come to thought. Well, try it again. Lie down and look out into the world. Look over the housetops, even over the treetops. Contemplate the marvelous peace and order. Not a single jar anywhere. Picture life unfettered and infinitely varied. Consider mind adequate to direct the world in all its detail. Recognize underlying principle, animate and pervading, which sustains and governs all. Think of the power and magnitude of life and of mind, their fullness and their everywhereness. Yes, be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And in this contemplation, come back to yourself and recognize that you are part of the sum total of all this grandeur. You are nothing less than an aggregation of the qualities of the eternal, which make you His image and likeness. You are the I Am That. What of the grief and disappointments, the symptoms of disease or of age? They are lying impositions. There is no principle to support them. There is no life or substance, not a particle in them all. There is no mind to think or conceive them, no mentality of yours to feel or experience them. No, you say, I am not that sick I am. I am that I am, which I feel when I look over the mountaintops. I am of that life which never began, will never fail, will never end. I am intelligence adequate to my everyday needs, adequate to carve out the career the Almighty has planned. There are no impedimenta in my way to a satisfying and continuing existence. I can do all things through that spirited energy which surges through me, that vital principle at work in my economy. I am interknit with principle. I share its power, its wisdom, its achievement. I and principle are one. Nothing is impossible to a man of principle. I say all this not out of my own will and discernment, but out of the understanding of that mind which is everywhere, even to my innermost parts. I acknowledge all these advantages, not through any sense of braggadocio, but through the grace of an all-sympathetic governor of the universe, who withholds no good thing from his people. It was worth a million to hear your voice clear and ringing over the phone last night. Made me wonder why I had not called you up months ago. Nothing like our favorite prescription, after all, which runs something like this. Exuberant and joyous life, and this life only, is in the midst of me. It is all there is to me. It is my life, my very existence. I and this life are as closely interwoven as the figures of a tapestry are blended in the cloth. This explains my strength, my intelligence, my courage, my resolution to be up and doing. Hence it is that I have the assurance and understanding to say 100 times a day, and say it as though I meant it, I am His beloved daughter, in whom He is well pleased. I can see and experience myself as He sees me. There is no other self but the robust and permanent self. I will recognize no other. I will be what I am, and I am life vigorous and continuous expressed. The good Lord sees that you get by from day to day. He will see that you do more than this. He will rouse you to the point where you can do the fine things you dream about, emerging from the world of three dimensions and moving toward the limitless realm of four dimensions, where you are light, free and unobstructed, and where pain, restriction, and fear cannot intrude. An old-fashioned hymn runs, "What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." What a privilege, you and I might say, to talk sensibly in the interviews with ourselves, saying, "Life is continuously vigorous and glorious, and this life is individualized in me. In this process of individualization, life loses none of its youthfulness, its energy, its intelligence, its hope." I will not repeat to myself the suggestions of an existence that lags and weakens and discourages. There is no such life, and there is no such existence, because life and existence are everlastingly active and joyous and inspiring, imbued with a faith and confidence that will never permit me to falter. I will not let down. I will gather myself together and face situations. This world needs me. It is a glorious old world, getting better every day, and how I like it, and how I almost ache to do its chores and jobs. What fun it is to be alive and fired with such ambition. Your note arrived yesterday. The chainless soul you refer to finds a parallel in Emerson's Uncaged Spirit, and Shelley gives hints along the same line in his To a Skylark. "In the golden lightning of the sunken sun, o'er which clouds are brightening, thou dost float and run, like an unbodied joy whose race is just begun." And by the way, To a Skylark would not be a bad lesson for you to study. It gives a superb picture of that freedom you are looking for.